Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 11th day of April, Anno Domini 2026. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things, cheers, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Because we are in a pledge drive. But we'll get to the news after we talk a little bit about the pledge drive. As you know, we are a solely member-supported radio station. And that means that we don't get government grants, state grants, local. We don't get grants.
We don't get squat.
We don't get squat. Except from you folks. It is you who keep this station on the air. And how do you do that? You do that by making a pledge. Well, and paying for that pledge. It's real easy to do. You can head on over to our website at jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button and make the pledge. When you do, scroll down toward the bottom and say it's for Soundbites. And you can do that anytime, day or night. If you're listening to this via the podcast or downloaded the archive, you can even if it's not during the pledge drive, you can still make a pledge. Mm-hmm. Every penny keeps us on the air. And we appreciate each and every one of you who does. I know not everybody can afford to, and I get that. But if you can, look, we need the money as much as you need the money.
There's no wrong amount.
Right, there's no wrong amount. That said, if you can afford to, we do have things, you know, we have various levels of membership. We also have Jazz-O-Matic, where you can say, for at least $10 a month, you can join at the $120 level, and $10 a month comes out of your checking account or whatever account you give us automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the
benefits
at that level. So that's always a good way to do it. It's little tiny nibbles instead of one big bite, and that's always a good thing. Now, normally, we tell you that you can call a couple of different numbers and make your pledge that way, as well as talk to us. But we don't have any volunteers here today to take your pledges. So you will have to pledge online. It also means that nobody's going to try to shame you when you call in with a question.
Yeah.
So you are free to call in with your questions. But
you could still ask if they're a member.
We will ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the reality is that we don't have anybody taking pledges today, so you will need to go online at jazz901.org, hit that big red donate now button, and make your pledge immediately. We've got to raise a decent amount of money this time around if we want to stay in the black and not have to reduce or change or dump or whatever certain shows. So with your help, we can get there, but it is only with your help. So please, head over to jazz901.org, hit that big red donate now button, and give, give, give. In the meantime, I will read the news.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we count on you folks only twice a year. It's only two times a year that we come to you, unlike other affiliates out there, and ask you to help keep us on the air. And you folks, I got to admit, we've got some great listeners out there because we are still going 37 years strong. 37 years you folks have come out and, you know, said, yeah, I still want to keep that program around, even though we're the only talk show on this station.
Right. So, yeah, please head on over to jazz901.org, hit that big red donate now button, and make a donation today. The sooner we make our nut, the sooner we stop talking about it. It's that easy. In the meantime, I'll read the news. As Microsoft winds down support for Windows 10, an estimated 500 million users face security exposure because their current hardware can't handle Windows 11. Instead of forcing people to buy expensive new gear, Google is stepping in with a low-cost alternative. Google has partnered with refurbished tech expert Backmarket, not Black Market, to launch a physical Chrome OS Flex USB kit. For just $3, or £3, or €3, users get a plug-and-play USB stick that turns a sluggish, unsupported computer into a snappy, cloud-based system. Sure, the software itself has always been free to download, but this new kit is aimed at people who aren't particularly tech-savvy, providing simple guides and video tutorials to demystify the process. It strikes to be as close to plug-and-play as installing a new operating system can be. Windows 10 officially reached the end of support last October, and while you still have 185 days left on extended support if you're on it, the clock is ticking. For many, the choice has been either to risk using an insecure system or to spend hundreds on a replacement. By switching to Chrome OS Flex, those old laptops get a second lease on life. They boot up in 10 seconds. They stay fast because of most of the heavy lifting happens in the cloud. Chrome OS Flex is best for web browsing, streaming, and light office work. Unlike real Chrome OS, it doesn't support Android apps, however. Like real Chrome OS, you can use all of the Google Drive apps in offline mode if you like. Those of you who followed this show for a while know how we hate the idea of massive amounts of e-waste just because a company decides to abandon its users if they don't upgrade. We've pushed Chrome OS and Linux for a while now, particularly for older machines, but there's a bit of a technical hurdle to overcome installing them. This $3 USB stick makes that much easier. If you're looking for a full-fledged Windows replacement, either buy a new computer or install Linux. If you mostly browse the web and do email and some document stuff, then think about Chrome OS Flex USB stick to give your old computer a new lease on life. Chrome OS Flex isn't compatible with every laptop, but there's a link on their website to the compatibility list, which has about 800 computer models on it.
It's pretty hefty.
Also, as of yesterday afternoon, they were out of stock for the sticks, but that's been changing quickly, so keep checking. And there's a link, which Steve has probably already put up, to that on our website at soundbites.org. Also at soundbites.org is the poll of the week, and it is Google's $3 Chrome OS Flex USB stick. And the choices are, yes, please, sounds intriguing, I'll buy a new computer, thanks, I'm going to give Linux a try, will it work on my Atari 400, and going commando, baby. So far, we've got 30 votes, and a third of them are going to give Linux a try, and six of you say sounds intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, five of you say, will it work on my Atari 400? I bet four of those five of you don't even have an Atari 400.
Or never even saw one, or if they was sitting in front of them.
Mac OS X just got ported to a Nintendo Wii.
Nice!
A wild homebrew hack.
Right. So one, you can vote at the poll. It's pretty easy. Just head on over to soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, where you can vote in the poll. You can also then give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. That's a very thick piece of paper. I don't know what happened there. But yeah, so we've talked about e-waste before. We hate it.
Mm-hmm.
We hate the fact that suddenly a hardware device goes bad and it's no longer supported by the company. And so now it's just so much junk, which leads us to a topic we didn't talk about otherwise.
Good segue.
Good segue. The Kindle. Amazon has abandoned some of the older Kindles. Which is making quite a number of people very, very angry.
Yeah, why not?
They're perfectly good little devices.
Yeah.
But you know what? Amazon doesn't make a lot of money if you don't buy a new device. So they want you to buy a new device. Now, what a lot of people are doing are buying cheap Android tablets and putting the Kindle app on them.
Or the Kobo app. Or the... Any other bookstore apps,
right.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy your books through your electronic books through Amazon. There are lots of places that have them.
Yeah, it's mostly Kindles made before 2012. So on the other side of the coin, they've supported these Kindles for 15 years. How long should they support an old product?
Granted.
Yeah. So all of your existing books will keep working. You just can't buy any new books, and if you ever have to erase your Kindle, it won't be re-registered again.
Right.
And in the article I posted, there's a link to check which model Kindle you have.
Right. And the big thing is, I know a whole lot of people who do the read for free thing, where you can just read books, Kindle Unlimited.
Kindle Unlimited, yeah.
That won't work anymore.
Yep. No more new books on the old Kindles.
Right. So I know a lot of people who are there. There are a couple of places that you can get an Android operating system installed on an old Kindle, but not every Kindle will do that, and it is not a simple process. I've tried it on three Kindles. One was successful. One I bricked, and the third one just isn't working for some reason. It continues to work as a Kindle, or it'll probably stop now, but it continues to work as a Kindle. I just can't get Android installed on it. But they have locked the thing down, and they've just, you know, yes, they did support them for 15 years, but particularly in this economy, nobody wants to go out and buy, and Kindles are cheap. I get that. You can buy a low end Kindle and it is not expensive. But even so, in this economy, people don't like spending money they don't have to spend just because one company arbitrarily decided they're done. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Our first caller is Gary from Rochester, New York. What's up, Gary?
Hi. I am a longtime member, and I'm on the website.
Thank you, Gary.
Trying to renew it. And I had one question. It just relates to your website. I have missed a few programs and got in the archives. And when I try to get it up on my computer, I get a screen with a grim-faced emoji saying, sorry, you need, I think it says something like a meme and something to get it up as a video, and that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to get the MP3 player on and listen to it. And I've had this problem before, and I did restart the computer, and it seemed to work okay. It didn't work this time. Do you have any ideas? Is it
the easiest thing to do? Is to, instead of clicking on a link, right-click on it and select download.
Okay.
And so,
and then it will come down to your computer, and then you can use whatever audio player you have on your machine to play the archive.
What browser are you using to look at
Firefox.
The archive? What version is it? Do you know?
It's the latest one. I do get all the updates.
So there's an MP3 player built into the browser.
Yeah.
Which started playing on my computer.
All right. So right-click on it, you're saying.
Well, right-click and download, and then you can use any audio player on your computer.
All right.
To play them again.
All right. That's simple enough. Well, thank you so much, and I am renewing and... As usual, you always come through. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Thank you. We appreciate your membership and your continued listening and
learning from you guys. So,
all right. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
There are a couple of Firefox settings to check.
Sound by your name?
To see if media player is set to false.
Okay, Andy.
Oh.
So some people who never want their browser to make any noise, like while you're in a meeting and supposed to be paying attention to the meeting, you can turn off audio.
Are you posting a link?
I'm trying to find the actual link. That's the AI summary.
The AI summary. Yeah, we know how reliable those are. So, yeah. All right, well, he does that. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Andy from Greece, New York. What's up, Andy?
First of all, I am feeling smug.
Good for you.
We'll get that out of the way.
Because you're a member.
Yes. And I renewed the day after the letter came, so.
Well done, you.
Yeah, well, that way I don't forget.
Welcome to that club.
Yeah. I will say for anybody who's questioning it, it's worth every penny. You guys have provided me with so much knowledge over the years, I couldn't begin to pay a shop the going rate for the amount of knowledge you've given me.
Thank you. Thank you. We love to hear it. Another unsolicited testimonial, ladies and gentlemen.
But anyhow, the Kindle thing, if you still got a Kindle working from 2012, you are a blessed individual.
Yeah, they are not longevity tools. I will say that for them as well.
Well, you've been treating it very well and haven't taken it out of the house or whatever, but still, if I've got a computer device that I'm still running from 14 or 15 years ago, I'm on so much borrowed time.
Usually the battery has failed by then.
Don't say that. This is not a 15-year-old laptop I'm running.
Wood here.
Yeah, well.
And you've got it plugged in.
Well, I do, but I can unplug it.
Yeah.
I'm just at 80%, so I will unplug it.
Top off the battery.
But it just struck me when you were saying, you know, it's for my, because I'm thinking I've got a Kindle that's, I've had a number of years, but it's nowhere near that old.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, yeah, I know people don't want to spend money in this economy, but, you know, put your shekels aside for a few months and then buy yourself a new one.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. You know, the reality is, but it's still, it's e-waste, right? I would much prefer to say, I'm getting myself a new Kindle and I'm going to pass this one on to somebody else, as opposed to I'm going to throw it away. That's the part that bothers me.
Yeah, but you want to replace the old one and transfer all of your books back up to Kindle and down to the new unit before it dies on you.
Right.
If you're buying your books, you don't want to lose things or have to go through extra hoops to preserve your library.
Right. No, I didn't get that. But the books are always at Amazon. Right. The books are always on Amazon. So,
misunderstand the way it's worded. It says you can download this to one device, and I've got it on my Kindle. If I don't, and they say if you would buy a new Kindle,
one device at a time.
Up. Yeah,
yeah. Bring it back up and then put it on the new one. Well, okay. If my old one dies and I didn't offload.
Then you go onto your Amazon account and deregister that device, and now all the books are available to download on the new device.
Right.
Okay. That's what I was missing. Thank you.
So I went and looked, and my old Fire TV is still on there that I haven't had in 10 years.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The books are all available through Amazon, unless, of course, they've taken it away from you, which they've done once or twice.
Some publishers have revoked rights or they didn't have the right in the first place.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
I do get everything you've said, but my bugaboo is the e-waste. I should be able to take that old device and turn it into a usable laptop for something else. A tablet for something else. And you pretty much can't with old Kindles. All you can do is throw them away. And that annoys me.
And that's sort of common for most electronic devices these days.
Yeah.
They're almost never repairable. and they end up e-waste. So iFixit is one of the big companies that makes service manuals. And they rate every new device that comes out. They gave the new MacBook Neo a 6 out of 10, which is amazingly high for an Apple device. And then there was an Onion story about saying Apple recalls Neos for being too repairable. And actually, somebody already did. Unsoldered the 256 NAND chip and resoldered a 1 terabyte chip on it.
Yep.
And it worked. And I'm wondering, how many did he go through before he got one to work?
Well, exactly, right? Because what you're doing is desoldering a piece of a phone chip.
Yeah, and how many, 30, 40 pins on a NAND chip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Andy.
No problem. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Yep, have fun.
Okay.
And Andy just reminded me to remind you that every Sunday night from 9 to 10 p.m., we have the Soundbites Lounge. If you go to soundbites.org/lounge, you can join us. Again, it's only from 9 to 10 p.m. If you join earlier, you'll just sit in the lobby staring at a blankish screen. So don't bother. I've known people do that. I went and you weren't there. When did you go? Tuesday at 7 p.m. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't live in the lounge.
You don't?
Oddly, I do not. It's a shock. If I had an old Kindle I could turn into a lounge machine, I might.
Lounge lizard.
It could be my lounge lizard. But, yeah, so we do, when you're talking about things like the Chrome OS Flex and Linux and old hardware, I much prefer being able to wring every moment out of that hardware as opposed to saying, oh, well, I can't have the newest operating system. I'll just throw it away.
Yeah.
No, you put it in the drawer like everybody else and never look at it again.
Yeah. Well, I have passed.
And then you have all those lithium batteries just waiting to explode.
Oh, exactly. I have passed old phones on to people who needed a second phone for whatever reason. Being able to pass them on is much better than throwing them away. And that, it just annoys me that, and I get it. I get that Amazon doesn't want to support 15-year-old Kindles. I absolutely get that. What I don't like is that you can't do anything else with them. If I could put Android on it, or make it a thing that I can look at my video doorbell on and set it next to my computer so I can see that all day. Anything like that would be great.
Yep. And there are several locations in Rochester, and many towns also have their own recycling program to recycle electronics. So then at least they get torn down and what components can be recycled often do.
Right. It's still a lot of plastic waste.
Yep.
It's still a lot of metal waste. It's still a lot of waste, and I don't particularly like it. But that's me, and I'm not running the world today. I don't know how that happened. But listen, if I were running the world, I would ask each and every one of you to head on over to jazz901.org, hit that big red Donate Now button, and make a donation to this station to keep us on the air. I know it sounds like nonsense to use an FCC approved term, but it isn't. We don't get money from anybody else but you. You are the people who keep this station on the air. If you don't, nobody does. So if you want to continue to listen to this show, if you want to continue to listen to great, and I mean great, jazz all week long, and all the wonderful shows that happen on the weekends here, head on over to jazz901.org, hit that big red Donate Now button, and make a pledge today. There are lots of different levels you can pledge at, including Jazz-O-Matic, which is a tiny little nibble once a month as opposed to one big bite. And it will help keep us and this entire station on the air. And as Andy said, you can feel smug about the fact that you are helping to keep us alive and helping to keep this station on the air. And the only way you do that is then heading over to jazz901.org and hitting that big red donate now button. Do it while we're talking now, so you don't forget. I know you have good intentions, and you will you will have those intentions all week long, and then next Saturday it'll come and you think, oh, I didn't do it. So do it right now. In the meantime, while you're doing that, we're going to take a slight break, so you're not going to miss any of this show, and you can still listen to what's going on while you're pledging. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. Microsoft said it will be updating its user agreement after viral post pointed out that Copilot said it is for entertainment purposes only, a far cry from how Microsoft has sold its AI tool. In recent days, social media posts have highlighted the terms, suggesting that Microsoft isn't confident in its flagship AI tool. Copilot is for entertainment purposes only, the terms read. It can make mistakes, and it may not work as intended. Duh. Don't rely on Copilot for important advice. Use Copilot at your own risk.
So they don't get sued. That's the lawyer's page.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Microsoft, well, and that's, that, you know, like Fox News,
yep,
on their website says they are for entertainment purposes only. They are not real news. And their lawyers argued that successfully in front of the Supreme Court. Microsoft has resolved a known issue that was preventing some classic Outlook users from sending emails via Outlook.com. As the company explained when it acknowledged the issue last week, after it affected the Artemis mission, affected users were being warned that some of their messages hadn't reached intended recipients. Microsoft said that those experiencing this issue would encounter it more often when the Outlook.com account they used to send emails was an Outlook profile linked to another Exchange account. But it's all fixed now, and the Artemis crew has been sending email just fine, thanks. My favorite part was when one of the mission specialists said, just send it to my Gmail account.
Yeah.
Microsoft has pushed a server-side fix for a known issue that broke the Windows Start Menu search feature on some Windows 11 23 H2 devices. In a Windows release health update, Microsoft said these problems have affected only a small number of users since April 6th and are caused by a server-side Bing update aimed at improving search performance, which broke search. Okay. While they say these problems are recent, there have been reports of similar issues surfacing online for months, including claims that the start menu displays blank search results that are still clickable. This issue will resolve automatically as the server-side fix is gradually rolled out to affected devices. As promised, Microsoft is now beginning its effort to reduce and remove Copilot branding across Windows 11 with the latest Notepad update for insiders, outright removing the Copilot icon and phrasing. Now, the AI menu is simply called Writing Tools and maintains the same functionality as before. Note that Copilot isn't actually gone. They just changed the name, although you can turn it off under advanced features, so that's nice. Microsoft has terminated an account associated with Veracrypt, a popular and long-running piece of encryption software, throwing future Windows updates of the tool into doubt. The move highlights the sometimes delicate supply chain involved in the publication of open-source software, especially software that relies on big tech companies, even tangentially. If you're using Veracrypt encryption, best start looking for something else. But you don't have to look for us. We're right here. So as long as you keep pledging and keep us on the air. So give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415. The Artemis thing where they had two separate versions of Outlook and neither one was working was a bit of a black eye for Microsoft. So that a problem they'd been actually having for quite a while was now shockingly quickly resolved. So that's nice. I guess all you have to do is shoot it into space to get them to fix it.
When the world's attention focuses on your problem, you are going to Try to get it fixed as soon as you can. Even though you've been having the same problem for years.
Yeah. Having fun there, Dave?
George Lopez in town.
George Lopez is in town. Yeah, so.
Doctor's office was
called. So, yeah, the, yeah, I don't know. Listen, we should talk a little bit about the fact that we are in a pledge drive. I know you don't like to hear this, and I don't care. Here's the deal. Stations cost money. I know this is a shock to many of you. I hope you're sitting down. I hope you're not driving. It costs money to run a radio station. This radio station costs money just like every other radio station.
Even though we're all mostly volunteers and nobody has a salary.
That's right.
The cost of the equipment and the broadcast stuff itself.
Yes, and a whole bunch of other and the licenses that we have to pay to get on the air, to stay on the air. Listen via the web stream, the internet stream. That ain't cheap.
No.
Trust me when I tell you that ain't cheap.
And that's a separate license from the radio broadcast.
Right, yeah. Right. So the all of that costs money. Being able to listen via your smart speaker costs money. And having an app that you can play through your phone any time of the day or night costs money. And none of that stuff is free. None of that stuff is donated. This station pays for all of it. And how do they pay for it? You.
And our space. It's not like we've got some huge space that we spread out in. If you were to come here to one of our events, we share space with, like, the library. And then there's another studio that is, part of the high school.
Right.
That they do professional broadcasting and everything else. It's a shared space.
Right.
Granted, they don't come into the studio part of it, but they've got their own section that, you know, we're not just some big lavish place that we got all these real nice offices looking out over stuff and everything else. No, we're kind of in a unique situation that, you know, we got this little wedge in the school that we can do. They are great here, you know, in supporting us and, you know, just to keep costs down.
Exactly right. And those costs, we are trying to keep them down, but they do continue to skyrocket.
Like you know what the economy,
you know what the economy is like right now. We need your dollars. I cannot put it any more plainly than that. And if you get any benefit from this show, if you get any help, any entertainment, just something to take your mind off the rest of the universe for 2 hours a week, that's worth something. And we would love it if you would become a member of this station. It's ludicrously easy to do. All you need to do is head on over to jazz901.org, hit that big red donate now button, fill out the form, and you are done. It is secure. It is safe. It is effective. We stay on the air because of you. And the only way that happens is when you make that pledge and you make that donation. So head on over to jazz901.org, hit that big red donate now button, and give, give, give.
And, you know, one other thing that people can't complain about is we have been on the air for 37 years.
Close on to it. Yep.
And the technology, folks, I mean, you started out with big box computers. We got people calling us now about their cell phones and tablets. We have not just stuck to just simple little desktop computers or, you know, laptops. You know, we have moved right along with everything else to help keep you informed, keep your machines up and running so you can do what you want to do with those devices. And as if you've listened to the show at all, you know a lot of folks say, well, I've got a problem with this particular cell phone or this tablet because we've kept up with the times. And, you know, these times, you know, the prices of everything has gone up as everybody out there knows, you know, it's not gotten cheap, but same with keeping us on the air. We don't have these big grants coming in or these big donations and all that. It's simple users like you folks. They're sitting home on a Saturday enjoying your coffee or doing, you know, stuff around the house. We've got, I know, back when we had mailmen out listening, they'd listen to our shows. They're out there on their, you know, route listening to
us. I hope there still are.
Yeah, out there doing it and because they enjoyed the entertainment. And that's what we try to do is entertain you because we've always had one philosophy. The only dumb question is the one you don't ask. We don't get folks on here and belittle them or anything else. We treat all the questions very seriously. And like I said, there is no dumb question. You know, ask it. We'll try to figure it out. There's three of us here with quite a bit of experience.
A little bit.
And solving issues.
Yep.
And a wide variety of talents, too.
Yeah. Look, we've said this in the past, so let's say it again. If you added up every penny you've spent on your computer, the computer itself, the software you purchased, assuming you're one of those people who purchased the software,
mm-hmm.
your internet connection, your printer, all of the, your router, all of that stuff, all the thumb drives you bought, all of that stuff, added it up together, are we worth 10% of that? 10%. That's a tithe. That's, you know, we're not asking any more than the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
10%. Figure out what that is. 10%. Call up and make the, no, don't call. Pledge online, jazz901.org. Make that pledge today. Before you forget, and help keep us on the air, because when we hit our nut, we're done.
Yeah.
So if you're tired of hearing us beg, you know what the solution is.
Oh, I meant to tell you guys, I've created a monster. I had a guy that I work with, and we were talking about computers and all that, and he had listened to the show a couple times. He goes, "What's this about a Raspberry Pi?"
Oh, here you go.
Okay, this was a month and a half ago. Talked about, you know, and I brought one of mine in and showed him, and he, "You serious?" I go, "Yeah, you could do all this." He's now up to 6 Raspberry Pis.
Jeez and crackers.
He goes, "I am having more fun with," he says, "I got 2 of them that are doing backups and all that for my wife's stuff," because she's, evidently, she works at home and does medical records and all this other stuff.
Very so he's important. Got
backed up 2 different spots there. Plus, he's doing the cloud. And he's got another one that's doing the home surveillance and that. And he says they got cameras all around. He goes, "They are great."
Yeah.
He says, "And for such a small box," he says, "I've been doing so much with them and having fun."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is your fault.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the technology. He goes, "Who would have thought that such a simple little box, but it's all due to you guys talking about them." And, you know, it was no lie. They're very small. They're very powerful. And I've been able to have a lot of fun. And it's no big deal. If something gets messed up, oh, so I throw in another chip.
Yeah, exactly. Throw in another SD card.
Yeah.
Start all over again. Yeah. It's easy enough to do. So, yeah, if you're a Raspberry Pi fan, if you're a Linux fan, if you're a Mac fan, if you're a Windows fan, If you have a fan in your window, make a pledge.
Yeah.
Make a pledge today. It's easy enough to do jazz901.org and hit that big red donate now button. And that's important, I think. You know, we've kept people's computers running to go back to e-waste. We've kept people's old machines running. A number of you call in about how you've put Linux on an old mm-hmm. machine and it runs great, about how you've put Chrome OS Flex on an old machine and it runs great. A number of you have talked about how you have that second, you wanted a second computer. We see this all the time. Students particularly, they've got a big gaming rig in their dorm room, mm-hmm. but they want something to carry to class to take notes on. A Chromebook is perfect for that.
Yep.
It doesn't do a lot, and it doesn't do it super fast, but you don't care because what you're doing is taking notes and maybe some light web surfing and stuff like that, checking your social media stuff, but you're not you're not doing those high-end games on it. And if you lose it or it breaks or whatever, you're not out much.
Because everything's saved up to the cloud, so all your documents are there. And it's not like when you go to a class in that you know, you've got to have some gaming-style machine because, you know, you're just taking notes as the professor is speaking or, you know, making assignments or whatever.
Right. And the same is true of businesses. You've got a big machine on your desk, a big heavy computer or a big heavy laptop.
Plugged into your docking station.
Plugged into your docking station and your printer and everything else. You want to unplug all that nonsense and schlep it to a meeting? No, you do not. You get yourself a Chromebook and you use that instead at your meetings and stuff. Or if you're going on vacation. What better thing to take than a Chromebook if it gets lost or broken or whatever? You're out a couple of $100 at the very most, and all your stuff is still in the cloud. And the other beauty of that, when you have a second machine like that, is that it is in the cloud. So there's no sneaker net. Where did I leave that file? Is it in my laptop? Is it on my desk? Where is it? It's in the cloud. You can download it from any one of your machines anytime you want.
And if you're repurposing an old computer you don't use anymore as
with
a Chromebook.
Chrome OS Flex.
It's a free Chromebook, basically. You've already paid for it.
It's exactly right.
It served its life for 10 years as a trusted machine, and now make it a Chromebook.
Make it a Chromebook. Like I said before, I've taken a number of old laptops and turned them either into Kindles or Chromebooks using Chrome OS Flex, and it's easy, it's fast, and it renews the life of that thing. Instead of throwing it away, instead of creating more e-waste, it's real easy to just throw a new operating system into it and give it a new lease on life. And you learn all about that here. That's what we do here. We support people who do these things. There's a number of you who've called up and said, I just put Linux on an old laptop. Now what? Or I'm having this problem or that problem. And yes, not every machine is going to be easy. Like I said, if you go to the Chrome OS Flex website, there's about 800 computers on that list, laptops. But there are way more than 800 laptops. So there are some that are simply not going to work. So go through the list first. And even some of the ones on that list are not fully supported. They're partially supported. One or two little things may not work well. But you'll know that ahead of time, and then you can make that decision as to whether or not this is a thing you're intending to do.
Yeah.
And if your company uses custom apps, and we talk about the Chromebook can do anything on the web.
Right.
But if you have a custom app, Google has a program called Cameo, Cameyo.
Right.
Which is virtualization. It'll take your old desktop app and turn it into a web app, PWA, progressive web app.
Right.
So you can still run your non-web-based things in the web browser on the Chromebook.
Right. And progressive web apps, or PWAs, are exactly what they sound like. They're apps that live on the web and download only the pieces you need to run right now. That's what makes them progressive. They load progressively so that they load fast, they work fast, they do whatever you need to do as long as you have an internet connection. And it's kind of hard nowadays not to have an internet connection, quite frankly. If your company has – most companies that have bespoke apps that were created for them, most of those are on the web anyway. So, yes, a Chromebook or a Chrome OS Flex, I'll just call all of those Chromebooks, a Chromebook will do that for you, will continue to connect to that web app and run it for you, so you lose nothing. I've seen many companies build web portals, web apps, web whatever you want to call them for their companies, and they work as well on a Chromebook as they do on anything else. If you've ever used Google Chrome web browser, you can use a Chromebook. That's what it runs, the Chrome web browser. It'll run a regular Chromebook will run Android as well, and it'll run Linux apps and Android apps. Chrome OS Flex won't do that, but it will run all of the Chrome OS stuff. So there's lots and lots of things you can run on an old laptop with Chrome OS Flex. And if it's a beefy enough laptop, you can put Linux on it and do even more. Again, most of the stuff you'll do is web-based anyway these days. So, you know, ask your company, you know, if I'm going to run this, is it web-based? Is it a web app? If they say yes to either of those, you could do it on a Chromebook.
Yep.
It's real easy and real simple. So, you know, if you've got an old laptop sitting in the closet and every once in a while you think, golly, I wish I could use that, you can. It's real easy to do. It's real simple to do. Again, there is a certain technical hurdle to downloading Chrome OS, Flex, putting it on a thumb drive, et cetera, et cetera. But for $3, they'll send you a 16 gig USB stick with Chrome OS Flex already on it. Frankly, you can't buy a 16 gig thumb drive for $3.
Yeah.
They're essentially giving it away.
Yeah, and mailing it.
And mailing it. They're you're paying for the mailing.
Costs are going up again. First class is going up to what, 80 cents a stamp now?
Yep. So, like I said, right now, as of last night, I didn't look this morning, as of last night, they were out of stock, but they've been up and down out of stock all along, so keep looking. They'll come back.
Well, the other thing, too, though, and I've had a few folks say this, you know, because they were forced to go to Windows 11, and as like me, they said, well, hey, this box that I have, you know, is still a good machine, but it just won't support the work that I got to do on my home computer for work. I said, well, it's a win-win situation for you. They go, huh? I says, you've got the perfect opportunity right now. You're getting TO'd about Microsoft. I says, take that other box. As we said before, get it one of the switches that you can use. Have the other box right next to your current box and have a switch that you can go between that computer and the other one and learn Linux. You are in no rush. You can take your time, load the systems, whatever flavor you want, and learn Linux at your own pace. You can get it to look just like your Windows or Mac computer. I says, it's a perfect opportunity because you're not under some deadline to, oh, I got to do this, because you can go back and there are literally hundreds of videos out there telling you how to load the operating system, how to install software, how to rearrange stuff, how to look at the various libraries, and you'll go blind. You could actually start today and go to the end of the year looking at all the different programs that are in the library for Linux and still not get at them all.
Yeah, there's tens of thousands of them. And the switch that Dave was talking about is a KVM switch.
Yes.
Keyboard, video, mouse. And if you go to your favorite online realtor and look for KVM switch, keyboard, video, mouse, KVM switch, you can get them anywhere from $179 down to $18.
$19.
$18.99.
We had one customer that had two computers and two monitors on each computer. He wanted a KVM to switch between either computer, both computers, all monitors.
Okay, that's a little much.
$800 for
that. Yeah, but you can get it, but that's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, depending on how many computers you want to connect and how confusing that is to connect.
Two computers on one monitor.
Right, right. I do that. I have a KVM switch, two computers, one monitor, one keyboard, one mouse. I hit a single button, wait 4 seconds, and the new one and the other one pops up, and I'm working on that one now.
A lot of monitors have multiple inputs, but it's handy to have that second keyboard. Be able to switch between them. Yeah.
Right. All right. That music tells us we are done for the first hour, but do not despair. As long as we can stay on the air, there's another hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way. That is to say, another hour of Dave Enright, another hour of Steve Ray, another hour of me, Nick Francesco, and another hour of you, but only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. And while you listen to the announcements that are coming your way, you can also head on over to jazz901.org. Hit that big red Donate Now button and make a pledge to keep this show and keep this station on the air. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
It's the old days, ladies and gentlemen.
We made a mess out there. There's still water everywhere.
And at, what is it, 4 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. And you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 800-790-0415. For those of you who are just joining us, I have to tell you we are in the midst of a pledge drive. But we have no one to take calls here in the station today, no volunteers. So you can make your pledge online at jazz901.org. Hit that big red Donate Now button. Hey, you're all technology people. You can do this. You know it's safe and secure.
Yeah.
And, 256-bit AES encryption, which is the same one the government uses. So it's nice and safe, nice and secure. You can do this. I know you can. And we need you to do this because we are in a pledge drive and we need your money. Google, in the meantime, I'll read the news. Google has updated the Chrome browser with support for vertical tabs, which are displayed in a sidebar instead of at the top of the browser. Many people prefer this since there's more screen real estate side to side than there is top to bottom. You can choose which you prefer, of course. Google has also added a new full-page interface for reading mode. Right-clicking on a web page and choosing to open in reading mode will remove distractions and initiate a full-page viewing experience rather than the current side panel default. The FBI warned that while Google-to-Google or iPhone-to-iPhone texting is secure, texting between the two often is not. The fix is RCS, or Rich Communication Services, and it's the successor to aged SMS texting. Google's texting system already uses RCS. Apple's doesn't yet. RCS runs in parallel to iMessage and doesn't power Apple's messaging platform. Also, it will need carriers to play along with Google and Apple to make it happen, so it won't be an instant fix. So be careful what you send via text. It may not be private. Three established YouTube channels have sued Apple, alleging that the company violated the U.S. Digital Millennium Copyright Act, or DMCA, by unlawfully accessing and scraping millions of copyrighted videos from YouTube to train its AI models. In a class action lawsuit filed in California federal court last week, the owners of the YouTube channels H3H3 Productions, Mr. Short Game Golf and Golfholics allege that Apple deliberately circumvented YouTube's protections against video scraping and profited substantially while doing so. The plaintiffs are seeking an injunction and damages individually and on behalf of all others similarly situated in the U.S. We'll see what happens to the court case. On Tuesday, Google announced that Chrome 147 Stable released to all Windows, Mac OS, and Linux users. Aside from some security checks that may trigger permission prompts, Chrome 147 ships the web printing API for deeper integration of printer-related functionality with isolated web apps, as well as some updates for CSS and JavaScript. Apple's online store in the U.S. is currently showing delivery estimates up to 4 to 5 months for many Mac Mini and Mac Studio configurations with upgraded amounts of RAM. The delays are occurring amid a severe global memory chip shortage driven by surging demand from companies building AI servers that require large amounts of RAM. Last month, Apple entirely removed the Mac Studio's 512 gigabyte of RAM option. Memory chip prices are reportedly starting to stabilize or slightly decrease, but prices still remain well above historic averages, so high-end Mac Mini and Mac Studio shipping estimates might not meaningfully improve anytime soon.
We're also expecting the M5 Mac Mini any day now.
Any day now.
Which usually when there's a shortage at the stores, that means there's a new machine coming.
As opposed to not enough RAM.
Yeah.
If you own an iPhone, you're now a target for a new attack that's surging across the U.S., Europe, and elsewhere. If you fall victim, you can lose thousands of dollars in an instant and put yourself at risk. It's critical you know what to look for. The attack is simple. A text that seems to come from Apple, alerting you to an Apple Pay fraud, providing a number for you to call and stop the transaction. If you do call, you'll be speaking to a criminal intent on stealing your money, so don't call them. Of course, we're at a pledge drive, so we want your money too, but you should still give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 800-790-0415. That's after you log on to jazz901.org and make that pledge.
All right, big question.
Yeah.
Which perked my interest.
Yeah.
I can have more tabs on the side?
On the side.
Besides all my tabs?
No, one or the other.
I can't have my tabs at the top and the side?
No, one or the other. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
At least not from Google. There might be a plug-in to do
that. Yeah, it might be a plug-in that lets you put tabs everywhere. You know you can group tabs now, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
We're beyond.
Yeah, you're well past that. You've got 150 groups of tabs now. I understand that.
And each group has 150 tabs in it.
Right.
Yeah. No, I got my groups literally. I got them for the radios versus the programs.
You're not well. I'm just going to say that right. Okay. As long as you understand it.
Hey, I never claimed. That's what makes me unique and, you know, doing the goofy stuff that I like doing and playing around with it. Because if it breaks, oh, well, I start again. And that's the way it's been, you know, since I started my business way back in 89. You know, it was like, yeah, we're going to break stuff. It's going to probably crash or not be able to get everything back. But that's part of the learning, and that's how we grew over the years.
That's why you back up first.
Yeah.
And also, breaking software is a lot less expensive than breaking hardware.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
By a lot. And you do get a little intent. I remember when we first put you on cable internet.
Oh, yeah.
The way you were hunched over your machine, staring at the monitor, you didn't even know I left.
No, I didn't.
There was a social experiment done at Apple stores a few years ago, except they didn't tell Apple. they installed software on all the demo computers. How? Because there shouldn't be admin privileges anywhere.
No, but
so some
not every Apple genius is one.
Right.
Or if they know the back door.
Right.
The back
door. Somehow they were able to install software that would turn the camera on. And would watch customers, you know, playing with the floor demos. And they saw, in fact, it's weird. Turn your own camera and record yourself sometime. All your facial expressions just fall.
Yeah.
When you're not thinking about smiling or frowning or whatnot. You're just, you're intently, and you're resting bee face.
Right. Yeah.
And it was sending those images to the school that was the students who were running the social experiment. And they ended up getting a picture of a gentleman in it looked like a workshop or something. And so at the Apple stores, every computer is wiped every night.
Right.
To get rid of any crap people put on the computers.
Right.
So they would go back and do it again every few days. And so they think they found this technician trying to figure out where this software was coming from and what it was doing. And because Apple stores have really, really good internet.
Yeah, right. Right.
So they wouldn't have noticed it in all the regular traffic.
Right.
And eventually, apparently the person had come in and asked one of the floor walkers, is it okay if I use the computer? And they took that as permission to install the software.
Well, they said yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can use the computer.
They had consent.
Yep.
Yep. That makes sense. But yeah, we hear people say, oh, I own Mac equipment, and that includes the desktops, the laptops, and the phones, because they're not susceptible to hackers. This is untrue.
Mm-hmm.
There is totally. No operating system on this planet that is proof against hackers.
Especially since the most common threat these days is, hey, you have a virus. Click here to download our software and click right. here to call us, and we'll clean you out.
Right, mm-hmm. and they're exactly not lying. Right.
Yeah, they clean you out.
Someone's trying to break into your computer. Yes. Yes, they are. You.
Yes, you are trying to do that. Right.
We all need Jason Statham and the beekeepers to come along and fix it.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's just it. It not only is every operating system susceptible, but the weakest link
mm-hmm.
is you.
Virus mm-hmm. writers figured out they don't have to bother the effort to write a virus.
Right.
They hire a call center to say you have a virus.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And they make money off of it.
Yeah.
And you've many older computer technicians have heard the term PEBCAC.
Mm-hmm.
Problem exists between keyboard and chair.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the problem is.
Or I've heard picnic. Problem in chair and not in computer.
Right, right, right.
ID10T.
Yeah. Right, and that's social engineering, where you look. We all know it's nice to be nice, and we all want to help people. And particularly, you're in your own home, you're sitting around in the safest environment you know, and suddenly you get a threat, and it says we can fix that threat for mm-hmm. you. Of course I want you to fix that threat mm-hmm. for me. Of course I do.
Well, and almost the worst ones, we had two this week, they got an email saying, here's the invoice for the things you ordered. Oh, my, I didn't order anything. I better call them to tell.
Yep.
I better click that link and tell them I didn't order that.
Yep.
You know, the person that really did would want it. Nope.
Got you hooked, line, and sinker. Yep.
That's one of the things that I tell people all the time. On my Android phone, whenever the phone rings, and it's a number I don't know, there's a button that says screen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I click that button, and Google answers the phone for me.
Well, that's what just happened to me, and I just hit the, even though I knew who it was, I just screened, they left me a message.
Yep. And it says, this is the Google Assistant, please say what you're calling about. 99% of the time, they hang up.
Yeah.
In the middle of it. Yep. Okay. I know what that was.
Mm-hmm. Spam.
Spam. Done.
Market spam.
Block it.
Yep.
Report it. Yeah.
It's amazing now. Every so often I'll look into my phone and look at all the ones that didn't, you know, because I don't hear.
You don't even see.
Yeah, I don't even hear. And all of a sudden I look, spam, 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 spam.
Yeah, that spam likely guy keeps calling me all the time.
Yeah.
Part of the likely family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But.
That's likely.
That's likely. But yeah, so you have a brain, but you also were raised to be nice. Most of you out there,
mm-hmm.
there are a couple I know, but most of you have been raised to be nice. And so when something like that occurs, your first thought is to help.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. Only sometimes you just need to be a cynical so-and-so when it comes to things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this before. There was one time I was sitting here with my Chromebook.
Yep.
On the air live.
On the air live, and I got a big red screen that says your Windows system is infected. Unlikely, because I'm on a Chromebook. And it was just a...
That's the cousin of likely, is unlikely.
Unlikely.
And the one thing that we
can't... The black sheep of the family.
Yeah, yeah.
The one thing that we can't stress enough to folks, that, you know, when they get those screens that all of a sudden take over their computer, just don't, you know, don't panic. Go over, hit that little black button on the side of that computer, shut it off, and restart.
Yeah, a lot
99.75% of the time, it's going to boot right back up and be fine.
A lot of times those ads will turn off the close windows.
Yeah.
Quite often you can do the Command-Q on the Mac or Alt-Q on Windows to quit, and it does.
Right.
Just because you can't click the button mean it isn't behind there somewhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is important that you be more cynical.
Yes.
Let's just put it that way. We see far too many people who have called us and said, you know, I lost X dollars, or I lost X thousands of dollars, or I apparently signed up for something, but I don't remember signing up for it. Somewhere in a conversation, you said the word yes.
Yep.
That's all it takes.
Mm-hmm. I won the Italian National Lottery.
Congratulations.
That I don't remember entering.
Exactly. Yeah. Of which there isn't one, by the way. But that's a separate
story. Or they'll sit there, not only saying yes, they'll sit there and say, is this so-and-so? And you go, uh-huh.
Right.
That's all. Any form of consent that they can use that, you know, that you, would make it harder for you to fight, that I didn't agree to that, and they've got you recorded as saying, is this so? And they go, uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's your agreement.
Whenever somebody asks me that, my response is, I am he.
Or see.
Yep. That's all. Now, go ahead. Make that consent.
I'll go, you know, they'll ask me, and I'll go, how can I help you?
Or, who were you calling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And then if they ask you to drive to a store and buy gift cards to pay
Never
for the virus cleaning.
Cards. Right.
We had one guy this week that happened to it. He said it was halfway to the store when it finally hit him. This can't be real.
There you go.
And he turned around. While they're on the phone, on the cell phone, because they want to make sure you do it.
Well,
and they have you go to different registers, because store employees are now being taught if someone's buying a lot of gift cards, they're probably getting scammed.
We can't. Yeah.
The gift card kiosks, where you buy kiosks, now have big signs about if someone's demanding payment in a gift card, you're being scammed.
Yep.
Yeah, no, we've got a limit now. You know, you can come in and... You can only get so much on a gift card. After that, no.
Yep.
And they go, well, I need them to hand. Sorry. Not even during the holidays.
Yeah,
because that's usually when it spikes even more.
Right.
Yeah, if you have a big family you need to pay gift card or want to give gift cards to, you're going to have to spread that out for a few days.
Start now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had a guy.
Buy one a month.
I had a guy come in, legitimate contractor. I knew him and wanted to get five. $1,000 cards. I said, sorry, I can't do it.
Tyler Perry, the actor and RC enthusiast, well, that's why I fell him, he tried to give money to the TSA employees at Atlanta Airport, where he lives.
Right.
And TSA...
Because they weren't being paid.
They weren't being paid, so the TSA said, no, you can't give cash gifts. So he bought 1,000... he bought $250,000 gift cards.
Right.
So he's giving $250,000 to these people, trying to be nice. And then the TSA says, no, I guess you can't do that either. And so they're asking everyone to return them.
Yeah, that'll happen.
But half the people have already spent most of it because they haven't been paid in 2 months.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And I suppose if you're Tyler Perry and you say, I want to buy $250,000 gift cards, someone will sell them
to you. He's good for it.
He's good for it.
And that was probably that last airplane that Rami built for him was... $200,000.
Right. Exactly right.
We're getting close to just a real... Somebody said that in one of the comments. Why don't you just get in and ride it?
right.
So he rides on top of them while they're testing it.
Right. So, if you... Listen. Okay, personal plug. I write a newsletter every week. The Ask Nick newsletter at asknick.com.
Ding.
At ding. And every once in a while, I will talk about gift cards. People will ask, and I will answer a question about gift cards. Normally, I have a reminder at the bottom of my newsletter that if you are reading this newsletter and not paying for it, that's theft. But I often have people who will say, can I please send this newsletter to my parent, aunt, uncle, cousin? Mm-hmm. I will always say yes to that. All I want you to do is ask.
Yeah, that's courtesy.
Fair. That's courtesy. But the more people who know about not getting gift cards to pay for something, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you can, spread the word.
I was about to say, if you want to give the lawn boy a gift card for mowing your lawn, but now there's lawn services. Do kids go around mowing lawns or shoveling driveways anymore like I did when I was a kid?
Not so much.
I don't think so.
Not so much. I made a decent living doing that when mm-hmm. I was a kid for the day.
Yeah.
Right? And I think we charged like $2 a driveway for long ones.
Well, I can mm-hmm. remember being a paper boy.
Sure.
I think that's extinct.
That's
well, neighborhoods are so spread out now that it's hard for a kid on a bicycle.
When I was doing dinner theater in Detroit, that's a different story. But when I was doing dinner theater in Detroit, I knew a guy whose entire job was a full-grown ass man
mm-hmm.
whose entire job was delivering newspapers,
mm-hmm.
and he drove a Porsche.
Well,
what he did was he had a special route that was nothing but apartment buildings,
mm-hmm.
400-unit apartment buildings, and he had like six of them. So he would fill up his Porsche, go to the giant mailbox cube mm-hmm. outside the place.
He didn't have to go to every apartment yeah. individually?
Right. He just went to the cubes, filled it up. He said it took me an hour in the morning, took me an hour in the afternoon. And I made a bundle.
Yeah, yep. Back in the day when and a lot of the folks out there probably remember, we used to have two papers, the DNC and the Time Junior.
In the afternoon.
And I had one friend that had both a morning and afternoon route.
Yep.
We used some to get good money as a kid.
When I was a kid, we got two mail deliveries a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, morning and afternoon.
Yep, I remember that as well. Yep. But then I'm old. Most of you don't even know what mail is anymore.
Or an operator. On a phone.
Party lines.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
You used to have to pay extra to get a single line.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now you pay extra to have party lines.
Yes, exactly.
I hate to admit, but as kids, when I lived up on Jones Avenue, we used to, it was an Italian neighborhood. And, it was all party lines. And we would get the biggest kick out of it to pick up the phone real carefully and set it down and hear these women talking. Yeah, I know those kids are listening on us, and we're chuckling away and that. And, you ask them what I want to, and because you want to, make a phone call, and they had to get off the line so you can make your call.
Right.
And if they're, we're busy. Does your mother know you're using a phone?
I remember party lines real well. When I was a kid, our phone number was one off from a convent, and they would get calls every snowy mm-hmm. morning. Is school canceled? It actually became easier for me to call the convent, ask if that school was closed for the day, and then just say yes or no.
Yep. Our number was reversed of the high school, and 6 o'clock every morning, they'd start calling our house.
Yep.
And when we stopped being in school, then that really angered my mother.
Yes.
No, we didn't have to get up then.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, but I used to answer. Of course, then you would get the... And of course, once my voice broke...
Yeah.
Hello? Is this the convent? Yeah, you want to know about school?
Yeah.
I was never rude to them, but... It did confuse people a little. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Chuck from Penfield, New York. What's up, Chuck?
Hi, gentlemen. Flip side. Well, first I have a story, and then I have a computer question. But flip side of your buddy with the 400 newspapers in one spot.
Yeah.
I had a route that was 5 miles. You know how many papers?
How many?
23.
Oh, my heavens. Oh, my heavens. You worked for your money, buddy boy.
No, I didn't work for long until the snow started flying, and I said, and my dad wouldn't drive me when it got really nasty. I said, nah, I think we're going to let somebody else do this one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The other question is computer. I just finished cloning my system disk.
Okay.
But then I got to thinking, would I have been more efficient to... All my files are on another disk, so the system disk is all applications and cache and all the other stuff. Would I have been more efficient to just reformat the new disk and reload everything, and then I would have had a cleaner install?
Yep. Yes.
Cleaner, yes. More efficient, no.
Right. So yeah. The problem with cloning your system disk is whatever problems you're having currently.
Yep, with all the crud.
Yeah.
Right, and all the crud and everything else goes along with that clone.
And that clone may not install on another computer that has different hardware.
Right, yeah. Exactly. If it's a Windows machine, particularly.
I'm just upgrading on my own, so I just swapped the disk out, restarted back up, and I'm running again.
Right. Yeah. But you're right. It would be cleaner to install from scratch, but that's a pain in the neck.
Yep. The registry will be a lot smaller.
And the registry will be a lot smaller because you know exactly what you're installing and there isn't any extra and et cetera, et cetera.
Right, you got to get all your apps that you've installed in the past X number of years and all the tweaks that you've made and you've got to get them all right.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So it isn't a bad thing to clone your system. You just need to be aware that it's not necessarily going to be as clean as a fresh install.
So it's pluses and minuses. You bring the junk over, but you also bring over all the enhancements and tweaks that you've made over the time.
Exactly, and it's a trade-off. You decide.
Yeah. One of the big reasons to have a clone is if you're doing mission-critical business, your computer goes down, you boot from that clone disk, and you're back up instantly, and you don't lose whatever business.
Particularly if all of your data are on another drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why my data's all somewhere else. And
right. And, of course,
fall apart, and I don't care.
And, of course, you're backing up the data separately.
Yeah. And I don't back up this disk at all. Well, there's a few things on it that I back up, but for the most part, no.
Right. And as long as you're certain that everything you're saving is going on that second disk, you're good.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. Bye. And congratulations on not being a paperboy anymore. All right, we're going to take a quick break while you make a pledge at jazz901.org and hit that big red donate now button. While you do that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's your supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Mark from Greece, New York on the line. What's up, Mark?
Good Saturday afternoon, everybody.
And the same to you.
Thank you. Gentleman called about backing up and cloning.
Yeah.
I do both. I back up because I have everything on a D drive, but my operating system's on the C. So I clone the C twice a week just because I've made mistakes before and have messed things up and had to load the clone rather than going through and loading the whole operating system again. And that's worked out well for me. Actually works better than using Windows recovery.
Right.
You know, if you're going to bring over Cruft, you might as well bring it over easy instead of hard.
Right.
but yes, I back up three times a week my actual data because I make a lot of changes, so that automatically backs up. But, yeah, I find it very easy to just do some sort of image of the drive once or twice a week just in case I mess up.
That's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah,
One thing I suggest people do is when they build a new machine, the first thing they do after they get it set up is to clone the drive.
Right.
Because you know it's working.
Because you know it's working and it hasn't got any cruft.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But... of course, if you then add software later or whatever, that's a problem.
Well, at least you have a clean image.
Yeah, exactly.
You have a clean image, and you don't have to worry about Microsoft loading all that other stuff back in.
Exactly.
Because that's what I do. That's what I did my first clone. I did is after I de-crapified the computer.
Yeah.
You know, it took all that stuff out of there, and then I cloned it.
That makes sense.
And obviously I used Revo.
Right.
To get everything out of it because, you know, you might as well start good.
Exactly. You know,
instead of getting that all jacked up too. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a person like me who likes to, you know, experiment with certain softwares and sometimes, you know, you make one wrong click, that's all it takes.
Yep. It's exactly right.
And, you know, and I don't mind, you know, doing that because I assume my own responsibility, obviously.
Sure.
But, you know, even if you don't and you make mistakes by accident, it's a great way to recover.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right, Mark. Thanks. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I do the same thing under Linux. I use Ubuntu, but any of the package managers has a list function. You can mm-hmm. list all the programs that are installed. And then I save that list
mm-hmm.
every morning at 3 a.m. I save that list, and it gets backed up. So at any time, I could go to a new machine and say, see that list?
Use it.
Use it. And it would install all of that software for me, and I would end up with the new machine almost identical to the old machine. Obviously, where things are on the desktop are still going to be different, but all the same software will be available. And that's easy enough to do. And I also back up all the, again, under Linux, all your configuration files are separate for each program. So it's easy enough to back up each of those somewhere. So I could bring those all over to the new machine and it really would work exactly like the old machine did. And you can do the same thing with a Mac. You can do the same thing with Windows, with cloning and things like that. Linux does it. Chrome OS does it differently, as does Android. That's all saved in the cloud. So when I create a new Chrome OS system, whether it's Chrome OS or Chrome OS Flex, if I use my same username and password that I use on my main Chromebook, all the same stuff comes back. Now, it takes a couple minutes because it's being loaded from the cloud, and it depends on how fast your internet connection is, but it will actually set it up exactly like your old machine, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all nice features, and the ability to be able to clone your machine is good with caveats. The ability to back up your machine is essential, and you should be backing up every day. Mark does well, but Mark, you should be backing up your data every day, every single day, at least once a day, at least.
I run into people who haven't backed up for months, and they say, I haven't done much of anything. Well, how much do you want to risk losing?
Exactly.
If your computer dies today, you're going to lose everything you have done in the last 2 months.
That's exactly right. And remember, if you head on over to our website, you'll see the backup link under the important links, some important links. There's backup. It's the second link there. And we recommend the 3-2-1 backup system. Three backups in at least two different places, at least one of which is offline and on the cloud is better. Is offsite is in the cloud, so you can get it back on any machine anywhere. And there are ways to do that that are secure and safe and blah 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 blah. But you do need to be doing backups and you do need to be doing them regularly. There's nothing that breaks my heart more than I've lost the pictures of my grandparents. You know, you have data storage at pretty much every cloud service. If you are an Amazon Prime customer, You have unlimited storage for photos taken by your phone. Why aren't you using that?
We had a customer come in this week all confused by the cloud. And it turns out he had Apple Cloud, Google Cloud, Microsoft Cloud, Dropbox Cloud, and Amazon Cloud.
Mm. Yeah.
The cloud. No, there isn't a the cloud. Every company has their own cloud.
Has their own the cloud.
And yeah. you pay for storage on each cloud separately.
Right. Right.
Because no one gives you enough free storage.
Yeah, the best
Google's is the best at 15.
Google is the best. But even so, 15 is not a lot. Amazon Prime is the best for pictures
mm-hmm.
because it is unlimited.
Yeah.
At least right now. You know, don't. It's Amazon. So it could be changed by the time this show is in the archives.
Although, you know,
tomorrow.
Google, you know, even though it's 15 gig, it's pretty handy because you can open up multiple email accounts. And with each one comes 15 gig, which mm-hmm. I've taken full advantage of. We've got four of them, and each one of the four different 15 giggers, I got backing up stuff.
I just created another one 2 days ago, and suddenly, like about 2 in the morning, I woke up and thought, I've got 15 gig.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so the next morning, I backed some stuff up to it.
I mean, two out of the four, I'll admit, are maybe only using maybe 4 or 5 gig of it.
Yeah,
and I got a couple others that I keep. They're up there, you know. They're 8-9 gig, but you know I control what I put up there because I'm always downloading a different software, replacing the old updated version with the newer one. So it fluctuates a little, but it's all still free storage.
It's all free storage.
One thing I found when I ran out of Google space for my photos, when Google stopped giving free photo space,
right.
and I moved to Amazon, there's no easy way to delete all your photos from Google. You can only delete a group at a time.
Right.
And that group is limited to about 100.
Yeah, it seems to be.
I had 90,000.
You can delete a day. So if you took 300 or 400 shots in a day, which I know you do,
yeah.
you should be able to delete that day. But that's it.
Yeah.
That's the group size. All right, before we get back to the phones, let me remind you that we are in a pledge drive. Again, I know you hate hearing this, so make the pledge, and then you can feel smug about hearing it instead of annoyed. So what happens is we don't get money from government or state or local or any of that stuff. Where when we say we're member-supported, we ain't kidding. We are fully and totally and solely member supported. If you don't keep this station on the air, it doesn't stay on the air. Right now, if you're not a member, you're depending on every other member on all the real members to keep this station on the air. And we would love to have you join them. It's easy, it's simple, and it's fast. Just head on over to jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button and make a secure pledge today. In the meantime, while you do that, we will talk to Larry from Rochester, New York. What's up, Larry?
Good afternoon, guys. Recently, I've been playing with the idea of building a NAS using a Raspberry Pi 5 since I have a couple of them. The thing that's daunting me now is the price of SSDs. They just don't stop. And I was hoping to build one for about maybe 4 terabytes. The other thing that has me a little concerned is, do I have to really learn network administrator skills to have a NAS in my house?
All right, let's start with the price of drives. Here's the thing. You're talking about a NAS.
A network-attached storage.
Network-attached storage, where you save your data to a drive on the network. That does not have to be SSD speeds.
Because your network speed is going to be slower anyway.
Right. So you could use a standard spinning drive and save yourself a whole bunch of money.
I did not know. I thought it had to be SSD.
It does not. In fact, I've told this part of this story before. I did some work for a guy like decades ago, and he gave me a TiVo because he couldn't pay me. And it just sat around as I didn't need it or want a TiVo. And I finally was cleaning some stuff out, and I was going to throw it away. And I said, I wonder how big the drive is in this. So he took it apart. It had a terabyte drive in it. That is now my NAS.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. So I did not know that. I thought it had to be SSD.
No.
The HDDs are still pretty reasonable, though they're starting to creep in price.
Yeah, as people are realizing SSDs are expensive, they're buying more HDDs, yeah.
Right. I went to Best Buy the other day to pick up another SSD, and they're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. No, yeah. You get yourself a good spinning drive, and you'll be fine.
Okay. Now, in terms of when they say network, if I just plug the computers into it, am I okay, or do I need to be a kind of network guy?
You need to know enough to create, to turn on file sharing.
Yep.
And specifically Samba, if you're going to have your Mac connect to it.
Uh-huh.
And to create a shared folder and a username and password. But that's pretty basic and pretty easy.
Yeah.
Okay, so everyone in my household is Apple, so it's an Apple universe.
Mm-hmm.
My wife doesn't use it as much, her laptop as much, but I still wanted a backup. I'm always saying backup.
That's going to add another not quite complicated layer. You have to enable Time Machine support on a non-Apple drive. And I'm going to find out the command you need to do for that. You have to put an invisible file at the root of the shared folder.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I'm going to take the dive now that you've told me I can go to a spinning drive, because I had all but written it off because I just can't afford these mm-hmm. solid state drives anymore. They've gone beyond where I can afford.
Yeah. We just bought a bunch of Buffalo brand NAS drives. So Synology is kind of like the king of NAS. It does a zillion things, and it's really expensive because of that. We've got a Buffalo, a 2 terabyte for like $260, which isn't that bad. That comes, everything's built in. It does use a Linux OS with a web interface, but it's relatively easy to put up. But it's kind of fun building your own, too.
Yeah, well, I have an old laptop from years ago that I have Ubuntu on. I don't use it that much. I put it on primarily at the time to just kind of dip my feet, if you will, into Linux.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I think then I'm going to take the plunge. Like I said, I wanted to build a 4-terabyte drive, and I can still do that for about $200 with an HDD.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah, so somewhere in that range. Depends on the day.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much. That kind of alleviated some fears, because I had written it off because I just, these things are going up so fast now, I just said, forget it. I'll do something else.
Yeah. No, you don't need, for a backup solution, where, as Steve said, your limit is probably the speed of your network.
Right.
An HDD is perfectly acceptable.
Okay.
And it'll buffer anyway. Also, backups happen at 2 in the morning. You don't care if it takes an extra 7 seconds.
Well, mine usually, right now, on just Time Machine, I set at 9 a.m., but I can easily do that at any time while I'm sleeping, just be done. As you guys said a couple of years ago, I never turn the machine off anyway now. I just keep it on.
Right. My stuff starts backing up at 2 in the morning.
Okay.
Of course, I'm still online at 2 in the morning, but that's a different story.
I would say you're just getting ready to go to bed.
Just getting ready to think about starting to think about going to bed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so you can it happens in the background, so you don't care if it takes an extra few seconds.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to put another Raspberry Pi to work then. I'm doing all kind of crazy stuff just because I got them. I'll put another one to work.
You're a bit of a maniac, Larry.
We created another monster.
And I am a happy member, I'm glad to say.
That's what we like to hear, Larry.
We appreciate that.
Thank you. All righty. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Yeah, backup solution is super important. Being able to back up to the cloud is super important, but your other backup should be off your machine. And NAS, a network-attached storage device, which is just a hard drive on your network, is a real good way to do that. Now, a lot of routers will let you set, will let you connect a drive directly to the router, and they have software already in them to do that.
Yeah, check to see if your wireless router has a USB port on it.
Right.
That may already support.
Wired or wireless.
Yeah.
Right. So that may be a solution that's already available to you. We don't know. It depends on the router. So check, and it depends on the model of the router. So you can't say, oh, all of X routers do that. They don't. So it depends on a lot of things. But if yours does that, then just plugging a drive into it and setting up the software in the setup, you're done. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dave from Holly, New York. What's up, Dave? Dave?
Dave's not there. Push the button, Dave. All right.
No, Dave. Sorry, Dave. Call back, Dave, please. Call back, and we'll talk to you.
But be quick about it, because we're getting close to the end here.
Yeah, we're getting very close to the end. The big thing with backup solutions is it depends on what type of operating system you're running as to how easy it is to connect. As Steve said, when you're using Time Machine, there are certain things you have to do. It's not impossible to do them, but there are certain things you have to do.
The format of the drive matters.
Right, right. The format of the drive matters. The protocol that you connect with matters, et cetera, et cetera. That's true of all of them, but with most of them, it's a little... it's a little easier, I know.
And I posted a link from a Raspberry Pi developer who gave instructions on how to do it on a Raspberry Pi.
To a Time Machine.
Yep.
Backup. Okay, excellent. And now we do have Dave from Holly, New York on the line. What's up, Dave?
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a little older than that, and I have a laptop that I still have 10 on, and going to be updating to 11, but I'm worried about the security on that, and I'm just wondering if you could give some recommendations in regards to, what I should be doing with security on that.
All right, so, okay, first, 11 is more secure than 10 in general, so that's important. In terms of security, you want to do three things. One, you want to run a good antivirus program. Although, as we've said many times, the viruses are not the big thing on the net, but they're still out there. They're all being run by bots, so they're still out there. You want a good anti-malware program like Malwarebytes and Super Anti-Spyware. And you want to be very careful what you click on, what phone calls you take, what phone calls you make. Most, as we said earlier in the show, most of the security breaches nowadays are social engineering. That means that the person actually initiated their own breach by answering questions or letting someone use their computer, log into their computer, whatever. So the security nowadays on most operating systems is good, but you personally are still the weakest link.
And I would also recommend that if you aren't already, join the Windows 10 Consumer Extended Security Update Program.
Right, if you're not, right.
So you still get security updates that Microsoft publishes. You won't get any feature updates or bug fixes, but you will get security updates.
Okay.
And I popped that link to the top of the list.
Well, I was going to say, I'm pretty illiterate with a computer and that type of thing. So probably the best thing to do would be to take it in and have somebody check it out and, add the things that need to be added to it.
Probably best. But the list you want a good antivirus program. You want a good anti-spyware program. You want a good anti-malware program. And you want to be up to date with all the latest operating system stuff.
Okay.
So that's your checklist. And then for you personally, be very cynical when somebody calls and says you've got a problem or you see a thing on your screen that says you've got a problem.
Just assume that every one of those messages is fake.
Yeah.
The good guys have had to stop sending messages because you can't trust them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate you taking the call.
Thanks, Dave. Stay safe out there.
It goes back to what you said earlier. You want to be nice. If you get a notice for an order that you didn't make, you want to let them know there's a mistake. It's not a mistake. They're trying to trick you.
They're trying to trick you. They say, okay, well, we'll refund the money.
Yeah.
Just give us your bank information. Yeah, I don't think so.
Yep.
No. Yeah, there's a simple way to reverse the charge at your end without knowing any more of my information. Yep. Why don't you just do that?
There was one going around for a while where they would take money out of savings and deposit it to checking. So you're looking at your checking account. Oh, you saw a $10,000 deposit. Great.
Right.
You didn't notice the $10,000 withdrawal from your savings account.
Right, right, right. Or the $50,000 out of savings they kept.
Yep.
Be very, very careful. Don't give anybody your credit card information, your banking information, none of that stuff.
Yeah, unless you specifically went to look for it, then you got to worry about fake websites.
Right.
So look at ratings.
Except, of course, you should be giving your credit card number to Jazz90.1 by heading over to jazz901.org, clicking that Donate Now button, and give. We need your money. We're going to be reminding you of this next week, but you know what? Do it right now while you're thinking of it. If you're listening to this podcast later in the week, that website is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year in every country on earth that has internet. So please make that call, make that pledge. Make that pledge right now. We need your help. On the other hand, we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. I want to thank everybody who called in. Good calls this week. Nice stuff. Interesting things. But, you know, God willing, the crick don't rise and people actually become members. We will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. But, again, head on over to jazz901.org and hit that big red Donate Now button. We will see you in just 166 hours.